Colossians chapter 3. I want to give you the third part here on music and the Christian life. A couple questions while you're turning there that'll help us review and make you think a little bit here. Does God like music? Yes, okay. Who created music? God did. Is there music in heaven? Yes, there is. Is God against new songs?
No.
What did we just sing? This is the
new song
we sing. Amen. We're a little off tune, but we got it. It's a little harder without music, isn't it? But it's a new song. So God's not against new songs, is He? No. The Bible talks over and over about a new song. God put a new song in my mouth. But we need to understand two things about music. Remember this? Do you believe Satan can corrupt music?
Yes.
Do you believe that music's a powerful tool?
Yes,
it is. And so those two things right there let you know you got to be careful. Because if Satan can use it, and if music is a powerful tool, and it is, then, man, we need to be really careful about it. And that's why God didn't leave us completely in the dark. To be honest with you, God doesn't get real, real specific about about the intricacies of music, but He does tell you what you should be listening to and why. In Colossians 3, look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the command from Paul to the church is that there are three types of music there. What's the first one? Psalms. That would be like scripture set to music. Then the next one is what?
Hymns.
And the next one is what? Spiritual songs. Now, we need to be very careful that when we enjoy music, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying it, you should enjoy it, but God made it to enjoy it. But when we enjoy it, it needs to be Christ-honoring music, according to what Paul's teaching. It should be Christ-honoring. And we talked about, from Colossians, why that is so important, that the music that we listen to and that we put into our lives is Christ-honoring. We talked about the fact that, what it does for us and helps us put off the works of the flesh and put on the fruit of the Spirit. And, Christ-honoring music is such a teaching tool. And it teaches us and it instructs us, Paul said here. He said, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so music is such a teacher, and it feeds our mind, it feeds our heart. Christ-honoring music brings peace to our heart and it puts God's word in our heart. Christ-honoring music helps us to learn spiritual truths and hide those away in our heart. But do you just suspect that the devil knows that it's a teaching tool too? Do you think possibly the devil might want to use music to teach teenagers some things? Yeah. How about adults? Yeah. So we need to be very careful about the music we listen to, and we need to make sure that we're making choices that are good choices when it comes to our music. Music is a gift from God. It's a wonderful thing. Music is such a joy. I mean, everyone pretty much loves music. But we got to be very careful that what we're listening to is helping us and not hurting us. It's helping us to grow and not hindering us in our walk. Now, what I want to do is I want to focus tonight on four questions that you need to ask yourself about your music. And it's right here from Colossians chapter 3 in the context of verse 16. What are the four questions? Here's four questions to put your music to the test. Four questions. And I'm talking, don't tune me out and think, well, all I listen to is 88.3. Don't tune me out and think, well, this isn't for me, because all I listen to is 88.3. And all I listen to is 89.7. Those are the two biggest Christian stations in the area. Don't tune me out and think you're okay, because your radio dial is set there, okay? You need to really scrutinize your music and what you're listening to. and what you're putting. Don't tune me out and think, well, every CD I've got came from the Christian bookstore. Well, do you just suspect they may have some garbage at the Christian bookstore? Yeah, they might. Yeah, so we need to be very careful that we ask ourselves these questions and don't just tune it out, okay? Here's the first one. Number one, does the music I'm listening to, does it teach solid biblical principles? Look at verse 16 again. Does it teach solid biblical principles? That's the first question. Does the music I listen to, is it putting into my mind solid biblical principles? Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what is the next word? Teaching. How am I going to teach? He said, you're going to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He said, you know, you're going to teach through music. Is the message of the song in line with scriptural principles? Now, every song that has words, does it have a message? Yes. What's the message of the song? That's the question. What's the message? What is the writer trying to put into your mind? What's the writer? Because remember, human beings write songs. People are like, all music is good. God created music. Well, no, that's too oversimplified. Yes, God created music, but you know what? The songs you listen to, man wrote those songs. Christian or non-Christian, man wrote those songs. So when you get man involved in God's gift of music, of course, then corruption can take place. What's the message of the song? Who wrote the message of the song? Well, man wrote it. And like I said, whatever man is involved in, corruption can take place very easily. So we got to be discerning. What did I say? What did I just say? We got to be discerning. Just make sure you're awake out there. Because that's an important statement. We have to be discerning. I like the beat. Well, you know what? If you're a spirit-filled person, it isn't about the beat. It's about the message of the song. What's the message of the song? What is it trying to teach you? Do you think there's music out there that teaches teens to have illicit sex? You think there's music that teaches teens to rebel against authority? Yes. Do you think there are Christian songs that teach false doctrine? Yeah. Do you really listen to the words of the songs that you hear? Do you listen to the words? You know, let me give you a word of warning here. Even so-called Christian music, and I hate that term, but even so-called Christian music, you got to be very discerning. You know? I mean, you know, you listen to stuff that you think is just benign, you know, all this is innocent, you know, and you know, I've heard Christian bluegrass music. I went down to the river and got baptized and washed away my sins. Well, you know, nobody went to any river and got their sins washed away, did they? Only Christ can wash away sins, amen? But you know what? It's not just that kind of music. It's not just what we call, what some of you would call hokey music, okay? But it's, you know, I had Brian, I said, Brian, I'm just curious, because I, be honest with you, I don't listen to a whole lot of radio station stuff. So it just, I don't like it. It's just too commercialized for me. So I don't listen to a whole lot of that. But I said, Brian, I want you to run off for me, just out of curiosity. Had no idea what I would find. Wasn't digging for anything other than just to look. Run off for me the top 10 contemporary songs, top 10 on the charts. And I said, run off the lyrics for me. And so he did. And I've got 9 pages of lyrics right here of the top 10 songs. Small print, 9 pages. A lot of lyrics here. A lot of lyrics here. You know what I found out when I read those lyrics of the top 10 contemporary songs? That probably most of you, I'm sure you listen to on your radio station all week long. Did you know in the top 10 songs of Christian contemporary? Remember, Christian, what's the root of Christian? Do you know there is no mention of Jesus Christ in any form in the top 5 songs? No form at all. I'm talking about Lord, Savior, Christ, Jesus. There is no form of Christ mentioned in the top five contemporary Christian songs. No mention of Jesus. 7 of the 10, no mention of Christ. And very little of God. Very, very little. A lot of the songs, there's no mention of Christ or God in any of it. And by the way, have you ever noticed that, for instance, the very top song does mention God, but it never mentions Christ one time, I noticed in the song. You ever thought about why that is? You know, have you ever noticed that the world doesn't mind you talking about God? Do you know 94% of people believe in God? They don't mind you mentioning God. The world doesn't mind when we sing God Bless America at halftime at the football game. They'll sing with us, God bless America. That's fine. No problem. The world, most of the world, not all, you got the ACLU crowd and all that, but most of the world doesn't have any problem with you mentioning God at all. But can I submit something to you? They don't like you mentioning Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the world hates me and it'll hate you. You take up my banner. They cried, crucify him away. The world has not changed their opinion of Christ in the last 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, the world said, away with him and crucify him. We don't want him. And the consensus hasn't changed for the most part in 2,000 years. The world would do today exactly what they did 2,000 years ago. Don't think they wouldn't. People have not gotten better, folks. Mankind at his root is still very sinful, very wicked, and does not want a warm and fuzzy concept of this supreme being is fine. But when you start getting personal and you start talking about God taking on flesh and coming and having to bear our sins on a cross, and you start talking about him being the only way to heaven, I'm going to tell you that's an offense. I'm going to tell you something else. There is no mention of the cross in the top 10 contemporary songs. There's no mention of the cross. Because Paul said in Galatians 5, the cross is an offense. Remember he said that to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, it was foolishness. He said, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Is the cross precious to you tonight? It's not to the world. It's an offense. When you go to work and you talk about God, you'll be well received. When you start talking about somebody who had to bear their sins on a cross, huh, well, I'm not a bad person. What do you mean he had to bear my sins? I haven't done anything wrong. And it's an offense. Oh, that's narrow-minded. The cross is an offense, and it's no surprise that in the marketing world of the 21st century, the cross is never mentioned in the top 10 contemporary songs. Because, folks, let me tell you something right now. The Christian music industry is a big money business, and they're out to make money. And you don't sell a lot of CDs preaching the cross. There's one mention of his blood in all the lyrics of the 10 songs. And it's a very veiled reference about you have your blood come over me. It's a very veiled reference. A couple of veiled references to the cross, but the cross outright's never mentioned. Just very veiled, you know, about something about the scarred hands, you know, just very veiled references in passing. And as I read these lyrics of these top 10 songs, I got to be honest with you. And again, I'm not out here to harp on anything. I'm just telling you what I found out. And I'm just telling you that as I read these lyrics, it's the biggest bunch of warm and fuzzy nothingness I've ever read in my life. It's just warm and fuzzy. It's just a string of warm and fuzzy thoughts that really teach nothing. You know what was amazing to me? I told Denise, I said, I went in there thinking I'd find a bunch of false doctrine. You know, really, I didn't find any false doctrine. You know why? There's no doctrine even being espoused. There's no doctrine there. There's no Bible doctrine. In other words, if somebody's trying to espouse a Bible doctrine, you can kind of judge, okay, is this false or is this true? Well, it's just, there's no Bible being taught. There's no Bible doctrines being espoused. It's just a bunch of warm and fuzzy thoughts, you know, that are focused on our feelings. And that, you know, doesn't espouse any Bible doctrine at all. And, just an example of that, one of the songs on the top 10 here is a song called Lead Me. It says, and just listen to the words. Well, really, what doctrine is it teaching? What Bible doctrine is this teaching? I look around and see my wonderful life. Almost perfect from the outside, in picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, always smiling, but on the inside, I can hear her saying, lead me with strong hands, stand up when I can't, don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams, what about us? Show me you're willing to fight, that I'm still the love of your life. I know we call this our home, but I still feel alone. I mean, okay, so this woman's codependent on her husband instead of having a personal relationship with Christ, you know, and so, you know, she feels alone. It's all about feelings. I feel alone, you know, and I'm hungry for love, you know. Aren't you glad there's plenty of love found in Christ and that we can be rooted and grounded, Ephesians 3 says, in His love? You're not going to read anything about that in these lyrics, about being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, you know. And the song just goes on as a bunch of feelings, you know. Well, I could keep reading, you know. Just warm and fuzzy thoughts again, you know. No direct Bible doctrine that's really being taught. And yeah, I'm not picking on any. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit because here's the thing. You know, this says here, so Father, give me the strength. The song goes on to say, Father, give me the strength to be everything I am called to be. Oh, Father, show me the way to lead them. Won't you lead me to lead them with strong hands, to stand up when they can't? Don't want to leave them hungry for love, chasing dreams that I could give up. I'll show them I'm willing to fight and give them the best of my life. You know what? And again, I know my wife will be behind me in this, in what I'm about to say. I don't give her the best of my life. I give Christ the best of my life. And you know what? As I give Him the best, it spills over to my family. But it's about Christ. You won't see Christ in this song anywhere. But that's what it's really all about. It's giving Christ your life. It's submitting to Him. Letting Him, not me trying to pull myself up and be willing to fight. It's about Christ living His life through me. See, that's what it's all about. And so, you know, the point is this, is that you, no matter what style it is, whether it's a bluegrass song about going down to the river and getting baptized, whether it's a song, you know, that is a contemporary song, you have to be careful. The message of any song should be clear and biblically accurate. There's a verse here. I'm just going to read it to you for time's sake. Psalm 119:54, Thy statutes have been my songs. Now look, listen. David said, Thy statutes, God, Your statutes. In other words, Your word has been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The songs that we listen to should be biblically accurate in line with God's principles and statutes. Many times, you know, in our life, we would never listen to a preacher over and over and over again that we know is watering down God's Word and teaching things that are biblically inaccurate. You would never sit and listen to me over and over again, I hope you wouldn't, just water down the Bible, water it down, never talk about the cross, never really mention Jesus Christ clearly, never clearly talk about the cross. You would never listen to me do that time and time again, but yet we will listen to unscriptural songs over and over and over and over again. And you are being indoctrinated whether you know it or not. You are being indoctrinated. So the first question is, could I, or does it teach solid biblical principles? Here's the second question if you're taking notes. Number two, here's the second test to put your music to. Could I sing it to the Lord and be comfortable? Could I sing it to the Lord and be comfortable? Could the music you listen to, could you sing it to Jesus Christ and be comfortable? Look at verse number 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And what's the last three words? Who am I singing to? Go back to Ephesians real quick. Go back two books. Ephesians 5. Go to the left, two books. Ephesians 5, look at verse 19. We're going to go right back to Colossians. Keep your bookmarker there. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, and what's the last three words? To the Lord. Who is my song directed to according to those two verses? Over and over again in your Bible, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that the believer, the Christian's music, is to be directed to the Lord. Did you know that the phrase sing unto the Lord is used 16 times in your Bible? 16 times the phrase sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord. If Jesus were in the car with me, would I feel totally comfortable with the music I listen to? Reality check. He is in the car with you if you're saved. He is in the car with you. Everything that we do in word or deed, what is it? Go back to Colossians 3 and look what it says. Colossians 3:17, next verse. Right after he said, sing to the Lord, he said in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do in word or deed, and that includes your music, because that would be word and deed, it's to be done unto Christ with a spirit of thanksgiving to the Father. Number three, does my music truly exalt God? Does my music truly exalt God? Again, go to verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, look at this, do all in the, very important here, in the what? Name of the Lord Jesus, by His authority. I'm exalting Him. Does my music really exalt God or Christ? You see, music was designed to bring glory to God, not man. And many in the, even in the Christian realm, have switched it around. Music was supposed to be for His glory. It was to be used to praise Him. It was to be used to exalt Him. But it's been all turned around in our American culture today. And now it's not us glorying in God in song, it's glorying in man. And many Christian concerts are nothing more than shows. They're entertainment. They are designed to endear you to the group or the individual that's singing. It's not designed to endear you to Christ. It's designed to endear you to the group or the singer. Why? Because that's going to what? You love them, you'll buy their stuff. Christ-honoring music should cause us to praise God and worship Him. Recognize Him for who He is. Hey, man, listen. If singers out there, if they just want to exalt Jesus Christ, you know, one of the things that amazed me, because it's the way we do it here, like when Bill Dobb made a CD with beautiful songs on there that glorify the Lord and honor the Lord. And when Bill, he used to be on staff here, and when he made that CD and we made it available to the church, we put it out on a table in the back with a big cardboard box for donations. And anybody could go get one, and as they felt led, they could put donations in the box. Okay? Because obviously we know that that costs money to make a CD. You know, how often have you seen that? You ever gone to a Christian concert, listen to a group, and them say, folks, we got CDs on the table back there, and there's a box for donations. Just, you know, we want to be a blessing. We're here to minister for Christ, and we don't want to make the gospel chargeable. We're here to be a blessing. So we're here to be a blessing. Isn't it amazing? In most Christian concerts, how much is a ticket to a Christian concert usually? 20, I guess it depends on how big the group is, right? All right, $20 a ticket. Think of that concept. We're a Christian group. We are a ministry. And hey, for $20, we'll bless your heart. You pay $20 and we'll let you in the door, and man, we'll just bless the socks off of you. What if I don't have 20? Well, too bad. Try to get something free on the internet, because you can't come in. I mean, I think about that. You say, well, I've never heard any of this preached before. No, you haven't. Because what I espouse and believe, I mean, you know what, though? I don't think I'm the weirdo. I think 21st century America, I think we've commercialized the gospel is what we've done. And I don't think what I'm saying is weird at all. See, I think what's going on with the commercialization of Christ is what's weird and what's wrong. And I couldn't see Paul ever selling tickets to hear him speak like Joel does and some of these other guys. I'm sorry, but I'm going to throw that out. Charging tickets to come hear the guy. Let me tell you something. That's wrong, folks. That's wrong. That is not the attitude of the Apostle Paul. And that is not the attitude you find of Christ. He said, freely you receive, told the disciples, freely give. Freely give. Paul said, we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We work night and day so that we could not make the gospel chargeable to you. How many of you ever heard a Christian group say, we work night and day so we could make this concert free for you tonight? No. No, I'm telling you, folks, we're messed up in our mentality. And Christ-honoring music is not about the individual. It should be about Jesus Christ. It should be about lifting Him up. Christ-honoring music should cause us to praise God and worship Him. Music really does impact our concept and our image of God. You know what? Let me tell you something right now. You say, well, that stuff you talked about earlier, the top 10 songs, well, it's benign. There's nothing wrong with it. And yeah, I guess you could argue that. Maybe there's nothing wrong. But you know what? Here's the deal. Here's where it impacts us. Music impacts our concept and our image of God. And if your music is shallow, your concept of God will be shallow. And there's so much music today, again, Christian music, that really debases God and it elevates man. It's all about man. It's all about man's feelings. It's all humanistic in its origin. A lot of music today you hear, it reflects the image of God as being this doting grandfather type who's ready to fulfill the every whim of his children. Then you got other music that paints God as being tolerant of sin and gushy, and God's almost fickle. He's my buddy upstairs, you know. Then some music will reduce God Almighty into being nothing more than their lover. You wouldn't know if they were addressing their girlfriend or God in the song. You wouldn't even have a clue unless you already had a preconceived idea. There's a song many years ago I heard. It's a contemporary song called Jesus Doesn't Care. And the idea of the song is that He doesn't care about what you've done. He doesn't care about the sin you've committed. He doesn't care about your past. Well, you know what? The truth is, God does forgive, but you know what? He does care, because you know what? We've got to live with the consequences of our past sinful choices. We got to live with those consequences. This song just gives you the fluffy idea that, well, don't even worry about it. Well, you know, God is concerned because He knows that we have to live with the consequences of those choices. There was a song called Jesus and John Wayne. Anybody remember that? The idea of the song was, I think it was kind of a country type. The idea of the song was, if there's two men I want to be like, it's Jesus and John Wayne. You know, I mean, it's pitiful. Pitiful. That song reduces our image of the Son of God down to the image of a Hollywood entertainer. Now, isn't that despicable? So my question is this. Does the music you listen to, is there any depth to it? I mean, does it exalt the character and the holiness of God? Does it exalt who He is? Or does it just provide warm and fuzzy feel-good thoughts and concepts of God? Think about that. Does my music really exalt God? And does it exalt Christ? See, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I told you, there's God mentioned a few times in the top 10. Christ, never. Is my music Is it exalting Jesus Christ? Is it exalting God? And then the last thing, and I really don't have time to get into this a lot tonight. Maybe we'll talk more about this next week. Actually, next Sunday night, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. So it'll be a couple weeks away. Does my music encourage and promote strong family relationships? I'm going to give you that, and then we'll talk more about that later. Does my music encourage and promote strong family relationships? Verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. Right when he got done telling you about your music, boom. Wives, boom. Verse 19, husbands, boom. Verse 20, children. Verse 21, fathers. He begins to talk about the home. The music you listen to does have an impact on your home, your children, your teenagers, your marriage, your concept of your marriage, your concept of your teenager's concept of his relationship with you. Your music impacts your family relationships. And we'll talk more about that. And I got several other concluding thoughts I kind of want to give you to put a caboose on this. We'll do that in a couple of weeks. That's enough for tonight.